Well, praise God. Hallelujah. What an awesome time we've been having today. How beautiful the worship has been. The songs, the hymns, the spiritual songs, dancing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. What a way to celebrate Mother's Day. Oh, how awesome it is to be able to honor our mothers. And being a mother is such a special treat. It is a blessing. Even during those times when it doesn't seem like it's quite a blessing. But we know that ultimately it is the most beautiful experience that a woman could have and even a man can have as a father. And what a wonderful thing that even if you don't have your own natural children, you can be a parent to someone in the family of God, someone who is in need of parental guidance, maybe someone who is fatherless or motherless, but we know that it is part of the plan of God. And what a blessing it is to be able to celebrate and to pay tribute to this beautiful calling of motherhood. And so today is a special day in that it is Mother's Day, and we are talking about spiritual perception. Spiritual perception is so important because without it, it's easy to be deceived. It's tough enough to go through life and to be able to figure out all the things that need to be navigated through. But when you have spiritual perception, the ability to discern what is happening and what is going on around you as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, brings revelation to us, shows us things that we otherwise would not see. And to be able to be in a place where the Spirit of God is actually orchestrating and directing our steps, our decisions, and our choices. And being that it's Mother's Day today, we are going to take a special look into the book of Judges today and share in the Word of God. And as our lead verse, I would like to use Judges 4:14. And it says, Deborah said to Barak, arise, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Behold, the Lord has gone out before you. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. Hallelujah. And so we see this great move of God that is in the midst of being taking place as Deborah hears from God and gives direction to Barak, who is in charge of the armies of Israel. He is the one whom God has called to lead his people. And so they are summoned to a great battle. And I would submit to you, without a great battle, there can be no great victory. No matter what you're going through, if you're fighting and dealing with situations that are challenging and difficult, the greater the battle, the greater the victory that is to come. And so I pray that you are having victory in the works today, as we are all battling this coronavirus as it is making attempts to bring down the people of the world. But I pray that the Spirit of God is navigating you through and enabling you to have victory in your life. And so I would like to use as a theme today, listen to what mama says and behave yourself. Listen to what mama says and behave yourself. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, amen. Well, praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us divine wisdom and spiritual perception. Help us to discern the ways and the will of the Lord, that your glory would fill our houses, fill our hearts and our lives. Manifest yourself in the midst of us with power and in strength. God, we ask that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, that we might obey the word of the Lord as it is being presented to us. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, oh God, for all the great victories to come. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, God is so awesome in our lives, and it never ceases to amaze me how much God is faithful to those who are faithful to him. And when we are faithful to God, God is able to do abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. And we see that even as God is working in the lives of his people. And so in our story here in the book of Judges, chapter 4, we see that we are dealing with Deborah the prophetess. And she is one of five women prophets in the word of God. There was Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron. There was Huldah, the wife of Shallum, in 2 Kings 22:14 and 2 Chronicles 34:22. And there was Noadiah, who was the intimidator in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 6:14, who intimidated the work that was going on. And then there is the unnamed prophetess in Isaiah 8:3. And there's an interesting story there for you. But today we are talking about Deborah, the prophetess, here in the book of Judges. She was both prophetess and judge. God used her in a powerful way that she might be able to lead the people of Israel to victory. I would submit to you today that every mother's job, every wife's job, every woman of God's job is to lead people to victory. God has called us to be the head and not the tail, to be those who are able to hear his voice and follow him. Deborah was one of those women. She was one who heard the voice of the Lord. She had a relationship with God where God would speak to her. He would reveal things to her, and she would judge the people. And the interesting thing is that she was able to give godly wisdom and counsel. And so she is one of only two people in the Bible that were both prophet and judge, Samuel being the other one. And so Deborah is the only female judge in the Word of God. And that is a powerful place to be. And it says that she is a woman of significance. And we need women of significance in our lives. And I believe that if you are seeking God and serving the Lord, it is nearly impossible to be a part of the house of God, the family of God, without engaging or having an encounter with a woman of God who is able to react and respond and move according to the inspiration of the Spirit of God. They are priceless. And they are such a great necessity in the work of the ministry. And so in Judges 4:1 says, then the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. This is not a surprise, is it? We know this was common in Israel's history. And so it goes on and it says, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazar. And the commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagon. And so this is an interesting beginning to this story because it tells us, first of all, that the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. They rebelled against the word of God and the truths of God. And so God sold them off. Do you realize that God owns you? God owns us. We have been purchased with the blood of Jesus, purchased of God. He owns us. And it is important to obey the Lord so that we can continue to move towards victory. And so God's desire is always to deliver his people from evil. even as thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Hallelujah. And so verse 3 says, the sons of Israel cried to the Lord, for he had 900 iron chariots, and he oppressed the sons of Israel severely for 20 years. For 20 years, they were under oppression and bondage. And so they cried out. Some people, it requires suffering before they will cry out to God. They won't cry out to God when things are going well. They won't cry out to God when things are going the way they expect it to go. They will only cry out when trouble happens in their lives. They will only cry out when there is an issue or a problem. And so God obliges them. And so it is much better to obey God and be faithful to him when things are going good than to have trouble come upon your life so that you're in a position where you have to cry out to God. And so the Israelites were in this position, and because they cried out to God, God raised up a judge. This is part of the natural cycle of Israel. We see that when they would rebel against God and do whatever the other nations around them were doing, and as they were disobedient to God, then they would find themselves in bondage. They would be sold off, if you will. And then they would find themselves being oppressed. And in this case, it took 20 years of them being oppressed and being challenged and brought hardship upon and treated poorly and coming under great distress before they would finally cry out to God. And who knows how long they cried out to God before God rose up a judge. But then God will raise up a judge when you cry out to God. And he then begins to prepare a deliverer. And then the deliverer comes, and the deliverer brings victory so that you can have the peace of God, which you could have had you have just been faithful to God from the get-go. And so in verse 4, it says, Deborah, which is the root of her name, is a Dabar, which means to speak in discourse fashion, to counsel, persuade, or to warn. And certainly we know this is the message that Deborah was bringing to the people. And it is fitting for her name, Deborah. Hallelujah. And the interesting thing is that she was the wife of Lipidoth. And that means fiery torch. The name Lipidoth means fiery torch. And that's an interesting thing. So you have somebody who is a frank and direct speaker who is fiery. And so this is Deborah. She was a woman who was a fiery torch, and yet she was able to persuade and warn and speak with the authority of God. And she was the judge of Israel. It says she used to sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the sons of Israel came up to her for judgment. This is a powerful statement. This verse is powerful because she didn't have an official position at the gate. She didn't sit at the gates where the typical rulers would sit, where the judges would typically sit. But she sat on the road between Ramah and Bethel. And she was there in between there and Ephraim on the road. She kind of had a little place where she had set up an office. And people knew her as a woman of God, and people came to her. And it doesn't matter where you are. You don't need a position. You don't need a title, as long as you are gifted. And when you are gifted of God, then you don't need to have a title. You don't worry about a title. You don't pursue titles and a name for yourself. You just operate in the power of the Spirit of God. You operate under the anointing of God. And the Word of God says your gift will make room for you. I know so many people that they try to make room for themselves because they feel they have a gift. And the one thing that they are missing is the thing that they need in order for their gift to actually make room for them. But because they don't have that, their gift doesn't make room for them. Therefore, they make room for themselves. And unfortunately, that is not how God works. And if we align ourselves with God and his word, we will see that the gift of God will avail itself. It will arise as we are faithful to him, as we align ourselves with the truth of his word. He will use us powerfully. He will draw people to us. Do you want people to acknowledge your gift and your abilities? Be faithful to God. Learn how to wait on God. Follow proper protocol and do what the will of the Lord is. These are all the things that Deborah actually did. It says in verse 6 that she sent and summoned Barak, and his name means lightning, hallelujah, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh Naphtali. And she says to him, behold, the Lord, the God of Israel, has commanded, go and march to Mount Tabor and take with you 10,000 men from the sons of Naphtali and from the sons of Zebulun. So she's been given direct instructions from God, and she passes that word on to Barak, and they have risen up an army, God says, of 10,000. He says, I will draw out to you Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his many troops to the river Kishon, and I will give him into your hand. And so here is Jabin's army with 900 chariots, and the 10,000 men of Israel are rising up to go to battle at the command of the Lord. We must learn how to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and obey the word of God and do what God's will is. And I trust that you know, if you don't feel confident in yourself, you know people who are faithful to God, who are genuinely seeking God, who are operating in decency and order and out of a right and proper heart that has been yielded and surrendered to God. Those people are able to lead and to guide you in the way of the Lord. They can help you and they can help us to accomplish the will of God in our lives. And God is raising up people for this purpose and this cause. And so Barak says to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. And Barak is showing a little discomfort here with hearing this message. I'm just going to take 10,000 men and I'm going to go and start trouble with a guy who's been oppressing us for the past 20 years, who's been giving us a hard time for the past 20 years. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to just run into that. And so, you know, I know you're a woman of God, Deborah, and all that, and people respect you, and you have a lot of wisdom, and you counsel many, many people, but, you know, you're asking a huge thing here. But he says, I'm willing if you're willing to go, because I believe that Barak wanted to make sure that Deborah had confidence in what she was saying. And so Deborah responds to him and she says, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the honor shall not be yours on the journey that you are about to take, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. And then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And so Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali together to Kadesh, and 10,000 men went up with him. Deborah also went up with him. And so they got volunteers. They called for volunteers who would be willing to go and fight against those who have been oppressing us. And not everyone is willing to go. Not everyone wants to do battle against the challenges and the hardships and the things that we face in life. Some people would rather withdraw and just hide and cover up and just hope it all goes away. But some people are called to rise up. In fact, God is calling 10,000. And I believe that that is a number of significance. It is the number of completion, of wholeness. It is a number that demonstrates the power of God. And so he raised up 10,000 men who went with him. And Deborah said to Barak, arise, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Behold, the Lord has gone out before you. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And it says, the Lord, hallelujah, I love that. The Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. Oh, Praise God for victory in our lives. I tell you, when you are operating according to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, under the direction of the Word of God, your enemies will be routed out before you. And God will enable you to have victory in every aspect of your life as you yield yourself to God. Doesn't matter whether they have chariots or whether you're on foot or with simple hand instruments. God is able to defeat with whatever tool you have. And I believe that God can use anyone who is faithful to him to accomplish great victories in life. And this is what God is calling us all to do. In verse 17, it says, now Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Habor the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Habor the Kenite. Oh, and so here is Sisera. He is running from one woman into the tent of another. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Oh, God, have mercy. And so verse 18 says, Jael went out to meet Sisera. And she said to him, turn aside, my master. Turn aside to me. Do not be afraid. And he turned aside to her into the tent. And she covered him with a rug. Oh, she covered him. She made him feel like he was welcome, like she was his friend, like she was there to be a blessing to him. Oh, saints of God, woo, I pray that you understand that when you are faithful to God, you are able to be kind even to your enemies, even to those who are oppressors and those who are in bondage. And so here is Jael, just as sweet and kind as can be, gentle and harmless, so she seemed. And so she guides him in. And this guy's been running, man. He's been running and running. He is tired. He has been being chased by 10,000 men. And they are coming after him. And this guy is out of breath. He's worn out. And he comes to this woman's tent. And he's probably thinking, oh, a great place to hide. And so he goes in. And it says, he says to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And so she opens a bottle of milk and gives him a drink. And then she covers him up. Oh, he lays down to rest. I tell you, there's something to this. It's very interesting how he asked for water to drink. He asked for water, something that would refresh him and cool him after running and out being pursued by 10,000 men. And now all of a sudden she whips out the milk. She says, milk. Now, we all know that a little warm milk with a little cookies and some crackers is perfect for taking a nap right before bedtime. I'm not a milk drinker, but for those who do like milk, I've heard that it's just wonderful when it's warm. And so she gives him a little milk. I don't know that it was warm, but she gives him some milk. But we do know that he lays down to sleep and she covers him up. And he says to her, stand in the doorway of the tent, and it shall be if anyone comes and inquires of you, if they're looking for me, I know people are looking for me. He says, just tell them there's no one here. If they ask you, is there anyone there? Say, no, there's no one else here. There's no one there. And so Jael, Haber's wife, she takes a tent peg, and she seizes a hammer as he's laying there, and he finally falls asleep, and she takes the hammer in her hand, and she goes secretly up to him, and she puts the stake up to his temples in his head, and wham, she drives the stake through the temples in his head and nails his head to the ground while he's sound asleep and exhausted. Oh, my Lord. That is just unbelievable. This woman is incredible. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, you got to be careful how you treat the women. You got to watch out for the women. Boy, I tell you, you never know how God might use them to bring correction in your life, to use them to help you to come out of the place of darkness into his marvelous light. It is an amazing thing, but I tell you, it is better to dwell on the rooftop than it is to dwell in a house with a contentious woman. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Oh, I tell you, you don't want to have this kind of experience. You don't want Jael coming into your life being able to with the tent peg in the head. Woo, and that is brutal. And he was sound asleep, and he was not even realizing it. He just woke up with his head pegged to the ground. Well, he didn't wake up. The Bible says, so he died. So he died. Like it was, you bet he did. Oh, wow. What an incredible story. And so Barak is pursuing Sisera, and Jael, she comes out to meet him like nothing happened. She's like, oh, this is what. She says to him, come, and I will show you the man whom you are seeking. And he's like, really? Well, okay, where is he? And so she enters in to the tent where he was, and behold, Sisera is laying there dead with the tent peg in his temple. And I'm sure Barak was like, what the? Are you serious? Oh, my word, Lord God. How in the world? Oh, I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know. And so the Word of God tells us in verse 23, it says, God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the sons of Israel. God gave them victory. God gave them victory. He gave them victory. Why? Because there was a Jael who was relaxing at home and knew that God had summoned her to bring down the oppressor. And so she was raised up by the Spirit of the Lord. And it says, God subdued. Who's getting the victory? God is getting the victory. Why? Because God used those who were subject to him to accomplish his will. Because the people of God cried out to God and they asked for God's delivering hand. Oh, saints of God, God wants to deliver us today. God wants to liberate us today. The word of the Lord says here in verse 24, the hand of the sons of Israel pressed heavier and heavier upon Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. They got victory. They obtained victory. And so it says, then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day. Oh, I tell you, when God gives you victory, it ought to put a song in your heart. In Judges chapter 5, verse 1, this whole chapter is how they celebrated the victory that God had given them. They were under bondage and oppression. They were being tormented and harassed for 20 years. And finally, they repented and called on God, and God gave them victory because there was a woman named Deborah who was faithful to God, who God was speaking to throughout all of this time. And because of her faithful relationship with God, when times got rough, those who were crying out to God but could not hear from God because of their rebellious state, they ended up being delivered because there was one, a woman named Deborah, who was faithful to God, who was willing to yield herself to God despite everything and everyone else around her. And God used her mightily to bring victory. And so God enabled Barak to have victory because of Deborah. And they broke out in song. That ought to make you want to sing. When God gives you victory, you ought to sing a song about it. You ought to be glad about it. You ought to celebrate what God has done. Don't forget what the Lord has done in your life. Celebrate it. Give thanks to God for all that he has done. It says that the leaders led in Israel, that the people volunteered, bless the Lord. In other words, nobody had to tell them, praise the Lord. Come on, somebody, praise the Lord. They didn't have to say that. The people volunteered and praised the Lord. They began to bless God because they knew the days of oppression were over. The king who was harassing them and giving them a hard time has been overcome. Victory is now at hand. God has given them the victory. God wants to give you the victory today. God wants you to be able to rise up and bless the Lord. He wants to give you something to sing a song about. And I pray that you are able to sing a song about the woman in your life. And maybe you had a godly mother. Maybe you had a godly sister or a godly aunt or someone who was praying and standing in the gap for you. Someone who encourages you even as you are walking with the Lord today or not. You have people who God has raised up and they are speaking into your life. Oh, there's nothing more precious than a woman of God. There is nothing more powerful than a woman of God, faithful to the Lord, who hears the voice of the Lord and allows God to use them. Oh, you can sing a song like Deborah. She said, awake, awake, awake and sing a song. Arise, Barak, and take away your captives, O son of Abinon. Gilead remained across the Jordan. And why did Dan stay in ships? Oh, saints of God, the song continues and it goes on. And not only are they singing about the victory that took place and those who are part of the victory, but in verse 17 here, they are singing about those who did not get be a part of the victory. They did not volunteer to be raised up. It says, and why did Dan stay in ships? Asher sat at the seashore and remained by its landings. Oh, I tell you, there are always going to be people who will not volunteer. They will make up every excuse why they don't have time or they don't want to be a part of it or they can't be a part of it. And there's always a reason why people are holding back on God. But I pray that you will not be one of those people, that you will be someone who is rising up, trusting in the Lord, asking God to use you in a powerful way. And I pray that you're a praying woman of God. You're a praying man of God. You are someone who, despite rebellion and all kinds of things going on around you, you are able to stay true to God and his word. You are hearing his voice and following him. And so verse 24 says, most blessed of women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Most blessed is she of women in the tent. And I tell you, be careful whose tent you slip into. Know that God is able to use and raise up anyone to be able to bring forth the will of God in our lives. God wants to use us powerfully, and God wants to use people who are faithful, who will hear his voice and follow him. Verse 25 says, he asked for water and she gave him milk. In a magnificent bowl, she brought him curds. Oh, this is a great song. They're singing about how Jael brought him milk with curds. And she fed him a little something, maybe like a little oatmeal, kind of milk with oatmeal in it. And so she says she reached out her hand for the tent peg and her right hand for the workman's hammer. Then she struck Sisera and she smashed his head and she shattered and pierced his temple. What kind of song is this? Oh my Lord. Oh my goodness. What a song. This is crazy. But I tell you, they're rejoicing. They are grateful and they are thankful that God gave them victory. I tell you, I got some songs I could sing. I tell you that. I got some songs I could sing. God has given us victory in so many ways. I pray that you are singing a song about it and you think your song and your singing was bad. Oh, I tell you, this is some song here. I tell you right here, I don't hear any worship bands making music with this passage in scripture right here. You know, I tell you, but oh my goodness, how God wants us to rejoice and sing a song. I pray that you have a song in your heart of how God gave you victory. It says, between her feet, he bowed, he fell, he lay. Between her feet, he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell dead. What a song. What a song is this? I would have loved to have heard the music that went with this, you know, as they went along. Oh my goodness. It says, out of the window, she looked and lamented the mother of Sisera through the lattice. Why does his chariot delay in coming? Why do the hoofbeats of his chariots tarry? And here is the story, the song of Sisera's mother who is waiting for her son to come home from a great victory, the battle against the Israelites. The great battle, the people they had been harassing and mocking and tormenting for 20 years. Surely this was an easy win over them. Ho, ho, ho. Oh, it was an easy win when they were in sin. But when they repented and God arose in their behalf, now the victory was an impossible victory to win because no one can win against the Lord. And when the Lord is with you, no weapon formed against you can prosper. The hand of God is with you always, and you are able to overcome no matter what the situation or the circumstances are. God will always win. So she sings on. She says, her wise princess would answer her indeed. She repeats her words to herself. And she says, are they not finding? Are they not dividing the spoil? A maiden, two maidens for every warrior. To Sisera, a spoil of dyed work. A spoil of dyed work embroidered. Dyed work of double embroidery on the neck of the spoiler. Oh, he's taking in all the spoil. He's coming in with all the goods from the battle, how he defeated the Israelites. Oh, this is what's going on in their minds. But the reality is, it's a totally different story. In fact, the opposite is happening. It's the Israelites who are reaping and gathering in all of the spoil because God has given them victory. And I tell you, it doesn't matter what's going on in the imaginations of men. It is God who is in control. It is God who has the victory. It is God who enables us to overcome. It is God who enables you and me to prosper in all our ways when we are faithful to God. And there is nothing more powerful and potent in our lives than the Spirit of God at work. When we have the people of God working and gathering around beside us, enabling us to overcome. And this is the case in the story of Barak, who had Deborah, who came alongside him. He wouldn't even go unless Deborah went with him. I tell you, I know how that is. I know there are a lot of men. They don't do anything unless their wives say it's okay. Say it's all right. Oh, I know how that is. I know how it is to have that woman in your life who's the neck that turns the head. Hallelujah. The neck that turns the head. Goodness. Because if you don't behave yourself, you will find yourself pegged down into the ground. God has a way of bringing things out with good humor, doesn't he? Hallelujah. Not the ice cream man. God has a way of bringing out his points in a way that makes you laugh and go, oh, Lord, I better do what you say. And so we need to learn how to listen when our parents are trying to teach us the word of God and the ways of God and the will of God is being exemplified all around us. We need to listen to our mamas and do what is right before God. A godly mother is priceless. A grandmother, a godly sister and brother, someone in your life who is able to represent the truth of God, a godly father, a godly man or woman of God is something that none of us can do without. And this is the day that we honor those women in our lives who are faithful to God. It tells us that the land was then undisturbed for 40 years. It says, thus, let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the rising of the sun in its might. And the land was undisturbed for 40 years. God wants to give you peace. They were oppressed. They were in bondage for 20 years. And finally, they cried out to God. God rose up Deborah, and Deborah led them with Barak to victory, and they had the peace of God for 40 years. God says, I'll give you a double portion. All that the enemy has taken from you, I will restore 100-fold to you. And that is what God has done in the lives of the Israelites. And so in verse 14, Deborah said to Barak, arise, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Behold, the Lord has gone out before you. Saints of God, I pray that you are able to hear when God is using people in your life, that you're able to recognize the voice of God, that you are able to be faithful when God raises up godly mothers, godly grandmothers, and godly women in your life, that we are able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying as He uses them to bring victory in our lives. We all need victory in our lives, even as we struggle against the virus and all kinds of other things that are oppressing households and families. But it first requires repentance. And I pray that you are repenting today so that you can say like the psalmist in Psalm 118, 24, who said, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Hallelujah. Well, I pray that this is the day that God has given you victory, that God is raising you up, that God is enabling you to overcome so you can listen to what mama says and behave yourself. And I pray that you are behaving according to the word of God, according to the truth of God, that the will of God is enabling its prosperity in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul, so much so that you are going to sing a song about it, that you could sing a song of victory. And it doesn't matter how crazy the song sounds, just sing it because it's God who gave you the victory. Sing that song of victory. Let God use you as you rejoice in the Lord. Amen? Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, hey.
There's a place where I love to run and play. Woo! Hallelujah.
Hey.
There's a place where I sing you songs of praise.
Is operating in your life. And I pray that God is using the godly mamas in your life, those mothers who He has raised up to have influence in your life, to be able to speak into your life, to help you walk in the ways of the Lord, that you are not rebelling against God, but that you are holding true to His word. Now I know today is Mother's Day, and today we want to have a special prayer. And so I'm asking that all the mothers that are hearing this voice, that you would come and gather around. And if your family is there, if there are people all around you, then I want them to place their hands upon you as you gather around. Lay your hands on the mother of your house. Lay your hands. If there's a mother and a grandmother, you got all the mothers, just bring them in to the center of your house. Maybe you're a spiritual mother. Maybe you're someone who have been an influence and someone who's spoken the word into someone else's life and help them come to a place of renewal and revival. Well, I pray that you would also bring those people into the circle. Lay hands on those people. And I want you to begin to hold them in high esteem before the Lord. Honor them before the Lord as we pray. And so I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing upon the mothers today. Hallelujah. Here we go. Well, Father, we are so thankful. We are thankful for the mothers that you have placed in our lives. And God, we ask, oh Lord, that you would arise in the midst of them.
We ask that you would sustain them and keep them. I pray, God, that they would be healthy and strong and every whit whole. I pray, oh God, that you would pour out your spirit upon them, a fresh anointing, a washing by the blood of Jesus, renewal and revival. Lord, breathe the breath of life. Breathe on them, Holy Spirit. Lord, instill strength and healing in their lives. Lord God, I rebuke the devourer. I rebuke the devourer. And we come against every hindering thing in their lives. I pray that their households would flourish, that unity would be instilled in the midst of their house. I pray, oh God, that you would bring forth the essence of the kingdom of God and the wholeness of the Spirit of the Lord, and the power of God would bring forth healing, deliverance, and liberty in the power of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Woo, sing it.
I love my Father, my Father.